Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to Three Martini Lunch. We are doing our end of the year awards, McLaughlin Group style, throughout the few days here leading up to the end of the year. We're looking at some of the most interesting, best, worst, just simply bizarre moments from the year that was in politics 2010. Certainly no shortage of topics and issues and scandals and all sorts of things. And today we begin, Jim, with the political figure that you believe is on the absolute rise to stardom. Certainly a lot of new political figures on the scene this year. Who'd you end up with on the top of the list?
Sure. Well, first of all, Greg, before I go any further, I want people to picture us in tuxedos. At this point in the proceedings, now starting to kick over the coffee table and getting ready to throw chairs around the set of McLaughlin Group. There are a lot of easy, good potential picks for Republican figures, rising stars, Marco Rubio, Nikki Haley, Alan West, Susana Martinez. But I think just as Paul Ryan became the go-to guy for House Republicans on all sorts of fiscal issues, economic issues, I think Pat Toomey is going to quickly become that guy for Republicans in the Senate. Obviously a National Review favorite. He's been on the last two NR cruises. Besides the obvious reasons that he's a rising star, getting to see him this past November sail around with NR readers around the Caribbean, I was struck by – he struck me as a man who is now – perfectly and completely at ease with himself, which means, you know, if a lot of people are coming up to him and asking him questions about the race and about the upcoming Congress, perfectly comfortable dealing with a big crowd or lots of people. And if nobody was walking around, I saw him just sitting there, you know, out on the deck and on ferries and stuff. He didn't feel the need to there are sometimes politicians, you're around them, you feel like they're a salesman who are always trying to close the sale with everybody around them no matter what. And he just came across as a very serene person right now. And maybe that's the sort of thing that happens when you don't face re-election until 2016. Maybe it's because he's a, like me, a relatively new dad, and he's simply on sleep deprived. And he doesn't have any time or energy for nerves anymore. But he just came across as a guy who I think has this, he's going to have a certain stillness around them. I think it's actually going to be very compelling that he's not loud or overstating. Sometimes the quietest guy in the room can be the most effective. If you're a Republican who wins a state like Pennsylvania, after a lot of Republicans have not won Pennsylvania for a really long time, you're going to get a lot of attention. So I think it's not all that unthinkable that, you know, way down the road, let's say 2016, 2020, we're looking at a great deal of presidential buzz around Pat Toomey. Not this coming cycle, but a few down the road.
You mentioned my choice, Marco Rubio, who didn't just win in Florida, absolutely dominated that bizarre three-way race against Kendrick Meek and Charlie Crist. He survived basically starting from given no chance in the Republican primary when Crist was basically anointed by everyone as soon as he decided to run for the Senate. He chipped away, worked very hard all around the state to build up support. And by the time the deadline for filing happened, he was a prohibitive favorite against Charlie Crist, who then, of course, switched to independent. That changed the dynamics of the race a lot. Rubio never got off message. And the fact that, you know, he's just a very articulate, telegenic person, I think, in a party that doesn't have a ton of demographic variety, I think he's going to be a huge player on the scene. And like Pat Toomey, perhaps not in 2012, in fact, probably not in 2012, but certainly in the years ahead. Let's move on now to the person who is headed to immediate oblivion. I think I know who you're going to pick here, Jim, but I'll let you do it.
No, actually, I've got, I probably will surprise you. Greg, when was the last time you heard the name Rick Sanchez?
Probably about the day after he got fired.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he just seemed to have fallen off the face of the earth. And I went back and just checked for comparison. We all remember the infamous implosion of Don Imus back in 2007. And his show was canceled by CBS Radio in April 2007. By July, there was already talk of him coming back to radio in some form, and by November, he had signed with Citadel Broadcasting. Now, Sanchez's implosion was only in October, but Greg, I don't know about you, I haven't heard anything about Rick Sanchez signing anywhere with anybody to do anything. So, you know, perhaps he will have a pretty complete public life oblivion. I hope he manages to get his stuff together and figures out what went wrong and why he believed what he believed and said what he said. But I just think it's kind of an amazing disappearing act for a, you know, once one of the anchors of CNN.
You mentioned Pat Toomey before. My oblivion choice is Joe Sestak. We'll see if he gets added to, you know, that list we talked about a few days ago about those who want to get their original seats back. But he just came across as a guy who's kind of smarmy. and very annoying to listen to because he always thought he knew better than you. But if you look at his voting record, he was actually to the left of Pelosi, if that even exists. And so to watch him go and watch him leave his hate the rich rhetoric on the side of the road as he loses to Pat Toomey and hopefully goes away from the public square forever, I'm happy to see him go, and hopefully he'll stay in oblivion. On to the last one now, and this is sorry to see you go. I can't think of a number high enough of people I'm glad to see leaving Washington, but sorry sometimes is a little bit tougher to narrow down. Who'd you pick?
Well, I was thinking of actually a more permanent sense, people who have departed this earth in this category. Actually, I have two thoughts, and you'll permit me to get a little melancholy for the moment. We'll think of something jolly. We'll think of someone we're glad is dead in a little bit. there's one name that I didn't expect to say this, but I find myself fearing, you know, real certain bitterness about the passing of Ted Stevens. Mostly because of the injustice that marked the end of his career, convicted of making false statements about a week before the election in 2008, loses by 3,000 votes. Later turns out the prosecutors withheld and concealed evidence on a level that the judge called outrageous. To put this in perspective, how bad does prosecutorial misconduct have to be to get Eric Holder riding to the rescue of a former Republican senator and asking and eventually getting the indictment dismissed with prejudice? The prosecutors end up being held in contempt, and Ted Stevens gets his name legally cleared, but he, you know, has lost his Senate race pretty clearly because of this conviction a week before Election Day. In August of this year, Ted Stevens died in a plane crash up in Alaska, and it's this kind of this domino effect that if the prosecutors don't withhold the evidence, they probably don't get the guilty verdict. If they don't get the guilty verdict, he probably doesn't lose his reelection, and if he's reelected, he's probably not getting up on that plane. So I kind of find that whole scenario kind of haunting and disturbing. For whatever other flaws Ted Stevens had, I think he deserved a fair trial, and it's clear he didn't get one. And then a more personal one, which I'm just going to note just because this is shows you how NRO and writing for NRO can bring people together. I had a reader back in the Carry Spot days who out of the blue, every once in a while I would mention my family being in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And he lived there as well, and apparently saw, in his words, an older man asking for the more recent issue of National Review at the Hilton Head Barnes & Noble. And he said, you know, I bet you that guy, I wonder if that guy is related to Jim Garrity. And lo and behold, it was my dad. And they start talking. And, oh, I read your son all the time. The gentleman's name is Pat Birmingham. He was active in local Republican causes and grassroots politics down there. And I remember him as being a very soft-spoken, even-tempered, consensus-building guy. And, Greg, I'm sure you understand, in local politics, you don't always attract that personality. you get, you know, people fired up, mad as hell, and not going to take it anymore, and ready to shout their lungs out. And it's great to have that passion, but sometimes you need somebody who can kind of get everybody pointed in the right direction and build some consensus and get some things done. And I think Pat Birmingham was precisely that kind of guy. So if you ask me who am I really sorry to see go this year, it's Pat Birmingham. I'll try to think of some terrible person who died as you're mentioning your person who you're sorry to see go.
I'll throw one out there that you can revel in. Chemical Ali died earlier this year. So
fantastic.
I did not go with those who had actually passed away, but those who are leaving Washington. And I chose Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra. He gave up the seat to try and win the Republican nominee for governor of Michigan. He was the top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, just an absolute whiz on all of those national security, critical intelligence issues. He was big on the issue of Guantanamo Bay and what to do with the detainees, the Obama effort to bring them to the United States. Just really, really sharp on a lot of different issues. And I'm sure the committee will be in good hands with Mike Rogers, another Michigan Republican, as the incoming chairman. But Pete Hoekstra, a really good guy and really did a great job with that committee and for the folks of the 2nd District of Michigan. So
maybe I should have thought retirements. I like your tone cheerier. You mentioned Chemical Ali. And by the way, when people ask, think back to the Iraq War and why people thought that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Well, when one of your assistants is named Chemical Ali... When you said on the road to oblivion, I was wondering if you're going to mention another one of our favorites, Alan Grayson.
That's who I thought
so
you were going
one
with.
Who's not sorry to see go, and another person who departed Congress in both manners this year. Congress is a cleaner place without Mirtha around. people may find that a little harsh thing to say, but I think some time has passed since his passing, and I think we can observe this was not a man who kept government running cleanly and smoothly and, you know, open and all the things it should be in a constitutional republic. So some departures were ones we could feel a little better about this year.
Well, our awards continue as we get closer to the end of the year. I'll just leave that one right where it is. Jim, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next time for the 3 Martini Lunch.